Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of You Haven't Seen That Podcast. I'm Isaac.
I'm Elva.
And this is a show where we cover movies on that growing list of films that has people asking us a question.
You haven't seen that?
We also call ourselves YHST because it's cooler, and I realize that the name of our podcast is a little too long. You haven't seen that? Wait, are you asking me a question? No, it's the name of our show. Is there a question mark at the end of it? Yeah, but just search us at
YHST pod.
Boom. Easy to find, easy to remember. Tell your friends and family about us. Let's get the show going. Get more follows, get more listeners. If you like movies and you like married couples that are
into movies.
Oh, I was going to say a couple marbles short of a full bag.
That'll do.
Yeah. As we review movies, then, well, this is a show for you. So thank you for listening. And for those who are listening in the future, well, we also live stream at where again, Elva?
YHST pod. On TikTok.
She said excitedly.
And Instagram. Knuckle sandwiches for all.
Knuckle sandwiches for all, and to all a good night. So not only can you find us on those social medias, but also at YouTube at YHST. And if you've been enjoying the show, feel free to support us. We like when people buy us a bucket of popcorn or some candy.
Maybe a coffee.
Or novelty popcorn bucket.
Or coffee.
And they could do that, or coffee, or they could do that at Venmo, on Venmo. At YHST pod. So
everything is at YHST pod.
Everything's at YHST pod. Everything's half off. Meow.
No.
Oh, man. If you can hear it in my voice, you've been listening to past episodes. I got sick again. I got the cold again, and it was kicking my ass. Today was like the first day in a while that I felt significantly better. So I feel pretty energetic. So we'll see
how. It was horrible yesterday.
Oh, I was feeling like hell, dude. Took like a nice 4-hour coma a couple days prior to that. But anywho, let's get this show on the road. Nobody wants to hear about, no one cares about how I'm feeling, Elva.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Thank you for asking.
Okay.
All right. But we like to start the shows off. We're going to continue to start the shows off by keeping you abreast on what is going on in Hollywood and entertainment with something that we're simply calling YHST News.
Ba-bum-bum.
I got to find a better intro to this, like a script intro. Practice makes better. Anyhow, all right, so to kick it on off, the long-awaited Mortal Kombat 2 just dropped its new logo, along with the first look at Carl Urban as Johnny Cage. He's looking like money, baby. It's set to drop in theaters this October 24th.
Wes Anderson sets out to release his 12th film, The Phoenician Scheme, sets to be released May 30th. 2025, and I won't be able to pronounce that later on.
But we will watch it. The third installment to the rebooted Evil Dead franchise gets its title Evil Dead Burns, and its new director Sebastian Vanacek, who has described the film as being a quote nasty film that hurts, from which people come away tested. As of yet, there isn't an exact release date, but it's reported that we can expect to see the film sometime in 2026.
And since it's tax season, it's appropriate to say that Accountant 2 will be in theaters April 25th, 2025. Don't forget to file your taxes for that return.
And the upcoming live-action He-Man and the Masters of the Universe movie announces its star-studded cast, with Nicholas Galitzine as a titular character, Jared Leto as Skeletor, along with Idris Elba, Camila Mendez, Alison Brie, Hafthor Bjornsson, Sam C. Wilson, and Kojo Ata? Bring on the baby oil and loincloths.
Mm. With all that casting, Margaret Qualley is reportedly being considered for the role of Rogue in the upcoming MCU's X-Men adaptation.
Keanu Reeves fell down 50 flights of steps and Tom Cruise drove a motorcycle off a cliff, yet it was Rachel Zegler who won Action Movie Star of the Year at the 2024 People's Choice Award, cementing my hate for people and the uselessness of that award show.
Wicked author Gregory Maguire has revealed that Elphaba's last name is Throp because Throp is a sound a house makes when it lands on your sister. So if you have a sister and you guys have a rivalry, there you go.
veteran actor Peter Navi Tuia Sosopo has passed away recently at the age of 61 due to heart complications, appearing in television and movies, most notably as E. Honda in 1994 Street Fighter. His son, Manoa, shared the news on Facebook, calling him a trailblazer for Polynesian actors.
R.I.P. Mm. Reese Witherspoon finds her Elle Woods for a Legally Blonde prequel series, Lexi Mindtree. Hopefully we also get to see young Bruiser.
Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan reenacted their famous fake O scene from When Harry Met Sally for Hallman's Super Bowl commercial. with Sydney Sweeney uttering the famous line, "I'll have what she's having," while disappointingly wearing a turtleneck, leaving everyone, including the Chiefs fans, upset at such a loss.
Wow.
I swapped him. No, I totally swapped him.
Okay, Anthony Mackie reveals that Kendrick Lamar made his title track for Captain America, Brave New World. And let me tell you, it's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's where I fucked up. Oscar-winning filmmaker Takashi Yamakazi begins writing Godzilla Minus One, a sequel with a bigger budget in mind. The successful first film's humble budget of $15 million proves size really doesn't matter. I screwed up the flow of everything, huh?
Yeah, did.
All right, my bad. Lastly, Captain America Brave New World has yet to break past $100 million in the box office. Currently sitting at $96 million, it outperforms a struggling MCU narrative surpassing Eternals, Shang-Chi, and Black Widow, soaring high above the low, low bar of the Marvels. Hold Marvels.
On. Marvels. And then during the big game... Sorry. During the big game, an extended trailer was dropped for Thunderbolts, giving us a new look to the movie's villain.
And there you have it. There it is for the news, because I fucked up and totally scrambled everything.
No, I just saw the picture of what's it called?
Kelsey.
Kelsey with the little hamster with the sad face.
You know, all this prep work that I went into it, I was like, I won't fuck it up. And I misread one of the lines and I screwed up the whole flow of it.
That's okay.
Try to be perfect. Anyways. There you go. We kept you afloat and abreast. I like just like saying abreast of Hollywood news and entertainment. So we checked out two movies recently. If you guys haven't already seen them, we're still going to fucking tell you about them. We saw The Monkey and Captain America. I was going to say Winter Soldier. Captain America, Brave New World. But we're going to kick it off with the easier movie to talk about. The Monkey.
It still hasn't been released. It is going to be released.
True.
Next week. So we did go to a early screening. The Monkey is when two brothers, Bill and Hal, find their father's old monkey toy in the attic. A series of gruesome deaths start. The siblings decide to throw away them and move on with their lives, growing apart over the years.
We had fun watching this movie.
Let me tell you, it was amazing.
What was your expectations going into it?
I had no expectations.
Nothing at all? Like, oh, it's going to be scary. Is it going to be funny? Is it actually going to be a horror movie?
I mean, besides the poster being like one of those little toy monkeys that have like the drum. And like from the trailer, how they show it and stuff, I'm like, okay, it's going to be creepy. But that's all I really know. And it is a Stephen King adaptation. I already knew that was going to be good. Mm-hmm. So other than that, I didn't know where it was going to go. I did know that it was Oz Perkins directing it. So I was like, is it going to let me down like Long Legs, or is it going to do better than Long Legs?
Let's talk about that for a second. Actually, you brought up a great point. We covered Long Legs. We have a review and we did a full episode on it. I wasn't so hot about it, where it was one of those movies that, you know, it happens all the time where it's so built up. It's just, it's overhyped to a point where you're going into it and you're expecting to get your pants blown off of you in a scary way. That sounded so wrong. But, and I liked Long Legs. I liked what it did and I liked the feel of it and the tone of it. Just a quick, you know, summary of how we felt about that movie. But there's just some aspects that didn't completely land. I always love when horror films, when there's new horror films and it's new concepts, but ultimately some things, like there's some beats that were kind of missed for me. I think you had said the reveal of Nicolas Cage's main character was done like way too soon. You know, so not exactly a perfect movie, but my point is there was just something about Long Legs that didn't sit right with me. Mainly just the overhype. You know, like it was an okay movie, it was a serviceable movie.
For a second, I was like, Nicolas Cage wasn't in The Monkey.
Oh. He could have been. You know what? You don't know.
No, because I looked over and I looked at your notes and said The Monkey, but oh, yeah. I forgot that you said we were gonna talking a little bit about Long Legs.
I can play anything. I'm going to play The Monkey. It was a terrible
Nicolas I would Cage. Not doubt if that would happen.
The guy could play anything. Haven't you seen that movie, The Unbearable Weight of the Immense? Oh, forget the damn title of it.
The Immense, whatever. The one with Pedro Pascal?
Yeah, something Unbearable Weight, Amazing Talent. Somebody help me here. So it wasn't exactly like a complete hit for me with Osgood Perkins. Because the big thing was like, whoa, 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 the guy from Legally Blonde, he's directing a scary movie. So just all this hype and promotion stuff. So I went into this tentatively. The trailers totally grabbed my attention. I love the feel of the trailer. I love the tone of what the movie was presenting us. Really tongue in cheek. And then when actually watching the movie, it delivered on that and more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I was extremely happy about that. We'll get to it later. It wasn't 100% of a land for me. We'll get to it later. But let's start off with saying that it's starring Theo James, Tatiana Maslany, and Elijah Woods makes an appearance in there.
Oh, my God. I was not expecting that. Not at all.
It's like a, 10-minute, 15-minute part?
Yeah. But since this movie, I felt like that was a part where I kind of was like, what is this? Why is he there? Like, is this really needed here? Kind of thing. I felt like it was a little bit too... 15 minutes too long, because then I'm like, you know, then you kind of described that or went into that a little bit more.
Yeah.
But since it kind of just like picked up, that part just like went, and I was like, okay, cool, it's going to have this, but it didn't. It could have just kept going. I'm just like,
oh, so do you feel like it kind of slowed down the pace for you?
A little. See, here's the thing. The whole movie was good. Like, I didn't have anything.
Yeah.
But now that I'm thinking about it, I think that part was like a little bit like, you could have cut it down a little bit more.
I could, you know what? I can kind of see that because it's an adaptation from a book, and usually books are vastly better because you can spend a lot more time with all of your characters and building up the stories and everything like that.
Especially with Stephen King.
Thank you. Like, Stephen King will spend a chapter describing a fucking room. I've said it before.
I feel like I will tell a story verbally. I am Stephen King. Like,
do you have ADHD, Stephen King?
I'm over here like, I need to acquire the Stephen King spirit just for this one story.
But I guess the equivalent of that would be that the movie spent more time in, I guess what you can consider a flashback, because it's being narrated by Theo James as one of the twin brothers. And you see that in the trailer. The guy has a great voice, by the way. Oh, not God. Like mine. Mine's like just sticky. He has I need to see if he's been doing voiceover work. I need to see if he's narrated stories. I will listen to all of them. He's a fantastic freaking story. He looks like a handsomer James Franco.
He looks like, if they were to do like a James Dean movie, he could play James Dean.
Yeah, because James Franco did a James Dean movie.
Yeah. Did you know that? But yeah, no, yeah. But this one looks more like James Dean.
Totally.
Yeah, because James Franco did James Dean.
Yeah.
But it looked more like Franco doing James Dean. This one's just like James Dean.
Got it.
You know?
You hear that, Hollywood? Y'all get it. Anybody in Hollywood listening to YGSD?
Do I need Stephen King to explain it for you in more, you know?
So it's sometimes tough, like I said, to adapt books into a film. It's one thing to do into a series because you can spend all that time. So again, we spent a lot of time in the flashback, and it didn't exactly like take me out of it. What's the word I'm looking for? I didn't expect it. And so once I kind of realized we're spending more time on their past, it's like, okay, we really have to set this thing up, which was totally fine. I just didn't expect it. I thought we were going to get like a current story, then some flashbacks, but totally fine. Cause you get to spend more time with Tatiana Maslany, who is a wonderful actress.
Yeah. And I felt like them staying in the past before going to the present is way better than the flashbacks, because it sets, especially with this, it sets the tone for everything else. Like, I don't need a flashback of this.
Yeah.
We were given here's the important parts that you need to know.
Yeah.
Let's go to adult now.
Because sometimes a movie will disrupt itself by throwing you into too many flashbacks. And there's so much that happens in these kids' past that you had to spend time with it. So that was...
And I also feel sorry. I also feel like... Okay. It didn't need for it to go in the flashback of the middle of whatever is happening in the present, because that would mess everything up there.
Yeah. And not only that, like, I thought, because sometimes in horror films, you don't spend a lot of time with the villain, so to speak, or the evil entity or the cursed object in this in this matter. It basically opens with it. It just, like, you see in the trailer, it gets plopped down on a counter. And it's like, you're watching the monkey. Here's the monkey. Here's what the monkey can do. To what extreme degree? It sets up the feel of the movie. and the roller coaster that you're about to be on. I loved how it opened because, you know, people are going to die, and how violently they're going to die is what we kind of, when we go into a movie, we go, let's see if we're going to enjoy it.
Well, I mean, they showed some kind of like here and there in the trailer.
No, of course. But yeah. Even in a Red Band trailer, you can't fully. And I'm glad that this movie, the trailers didn't reveal so many of the kills, because there's a lot of them.
A lot more,
and they tease those kills. So you kind of expect the beats leading up to it. But when it's finally executed and resolved, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. How much blood did they have to use?
The fact that I said damn out loud in a theater, which I never say because I feel like it's very like disrespectful to everyone else around. But the fact that I'm like, you got a verbal damn out of me. You got a verbal oh God out of him.
Which makes it, I think people call it, I didn't know that this term existed, splash gore. Are you guys familiar with that term, splash gore?
I am not.
There's body gore, like the Terrifier, where you're slowly unaliving people in very gruesome and painful ways.
Splatter
horror. Is it splatter horror?
Yeah.
What did I say, splash? Splatter horror. There you go. Splatter. So it really lived up to the splatter horror, happily. The other thing, too, loosely horror, because I didn't know how they were going to try to scare me, but the movie didn't present itself as that. Hmm. You know, you're not waiting for something to turn around the corner, no jump scares or anything. So it's actually more of like a tongue-in-cheek dark comedy?
Yeah, it's under dark comedy.
There you go.
Splatter horror and just horror. The horror.
Yeah, so don't expect to actually get scared in this movie. Expect the
unexpected.
And expect the blood and expect the gore and expect the outrageousness in some of that, how that is done. It was very fun. I mean, we're ridiculous people, so we're just cackling and laughing. Yeah. It's, oh my God, you see that body part fly?
and it's to the point where it's the monkey popcorn bucket. I didn't want it because it looked creepy. Yeah. And I have a thing with creepy
inanimate object doll things with creepy eyes.
Yeah, like I don't like dolls because they look creepy, so I'll admire them from a distance. It's just I really wanted the bucket, but I didn't want to like walk down wherever and then turn around like, God damn, there's a monkey.
Yeah, listen, we'll have a Ouija board in our house as a decoration, sure, but a creepy inanimate object with like clicky clacky eyes? No, thank you.
Yeah, because did it have clicky clacky eyes?
No, but it just kind of looked like that.
It looked like it, right? Yeah, it was really good.
Let's talk about the monkey for a second.
Okay. It's creepy.
It's creepy. And it's not just creepy in its design, which whoever designed this thing deserves so much credit, because how the thing functions when it starts to, you know, you turn the key and then it starts moving. It's simple. Less is more. It's so simple and it's so effective. But not only that, to amplify the creepiness and intensity of that thing, it's lit. I'm being a nerd, obviously, like I love my lighting, but it's lit so specifically and thoughtfully, and it's shot so intensely along with like the musical sting, along with like smash cuts, you know, like a thing is happening and then smash cut to a thing. Mm-hmm. So not only does like the intensity lie in those edits and cuts, a lot of the dark humor lies in those cuts, which is fucking genius.
Yeah.
Fucking genius. Like, you know, it will show, they will show every single person's death. So don't think you're going to miss out on any of that. Mm-mm. But some of the comedy, the things that happen in between are in that cut.
Yeah.
And then you get to see people going bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. And if you guys are wondering how creepy this monkey is, just look up Funky Monkey with Symbols.
Oh, wow. Oh, no. It's like if you've seen Toy Story 2, that organ grinder monkey. It's the one, the Funky Monkey with Symbols.
Yeah.
Except this one was the drums.
Yeah.
Intense. Oh, and then, okay, before I crap on it just a little bit, I want to give it major props in it's a horror film that sets up the rules and then sticks to them. If ever you listen to us talk about horror films, I'm always going like, I was disappointed. I was on the right. See, I usually say this about a lot of Blumhouse films, right? Blumhouse has really interesting concepts. Like first and second act of the story or a movie is really good, and I give it a lot of credit. And then it does not stick the landing. not only does it stick the landing for the most part, but sticking to those rules is so crucial in a horror film, because as a viewer, you have to follow along with your protagonists, you know, as they learn about this evil entity and try to, like, you know, tiptoe around it.
I forgot that this is a Neon.
Oh, dude, Neon's been killing it. Neon and A24 have been killing it. Blumhouse is kind of losing me. I've said this before in previous episodes, but Blumhouse kind of, it's A24 and Neon are head-to-head for me with horror, and then, like, Blumhouse is kind of down there.
It lost it after, I'm going to say this, but it lost it after it did the Halloween.
Yeah.
The first one before the second.
The trilogies?
Yeah, but the newer ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. The I lost it after that one. Mm. After that first one or the second one, it lost it for me.
Those movies are always trying to find their footing and pacing. Not even the story, too. It's and it abandons its rules. So this movie is not that. The Monkey.
It did not abandon no rules here.
Now, the only part of the movie that I wasn't 100%, it wasn't completely gelling with me was, and I don't want to reveal anything. I never give any spoilers. So, I mean, needless to say, but there's one character that once he's finally revealed, I went, oh, okay. They went there. Okay. I guess I maybe would have done it a little bit differently, make it to make it land more solidly.
I thought it was perfect because it just went with everything. I want to expand on it, but I can't. So you guys have to wait till next week. And then you guys got to message us once you see it, because I can expand on that better.
Yeah, because we saw early screening of it. When does it release?
February 21st.
Right on.
Yeah.
So, naturally, see it. Mm-hmm.
Look at that. I can't look at it. Oh, there it is. Yeah, see? There you go. That's how creepy that thing is. All right?
That's how it was. Creepy. Things are happening and then... I love it. So, yeah, see that movie. It's so fun. If he follows for all, like, the sicko stuff, like, that's definitely a movie to watch.
Da, 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 da.
All right. Up next, finally, we can have a long discussion about this because Jesus is taking the internet by storm. We haven't had a lot of MCU movies come out, but finally, Captain America, Winter Soldier, Jesus, I knew he was going to do it. Captain America, Brave New World just came out this weekend, and there's a lot of hot takes on this thing. No one is outright crapping on it. I'm gonna say straight out, it's not a shitty movie.
Mm-mm.
It's just that we expect a lot from MCU movies, especially after the era of Bob Chapek, where he was the head of Disney. At the time, and he was like, all the Marvel things, all the shows, all the movies, let's connect the hell out of everything. So this is like one of the last of that era. And you can kind of tell. I had high expectations of this because I'm starting to get a little bit of like superhero fatigue, especially with MCU. So I'm hoping Fantastic Four can really bring me back in. I hope Fantastic Four is not part of the Chapek thing.
It is, because that's when he did a D23 and he was like, we're getting all these stages, and basically revealed all the next stages that are coming to the last stage. And then I think a year later he got booted.
Okay.
Yeah, so it falls under his thing. That's everything that's coming out right now. It's still all under him.
I mean, are we going to watch him? Absolutely. Am I going to...
Is it going to be 2015 Fantastic Four? Who knows? I don't know.
Oof, that's a low bar. But no, but the point I was going to say was, am I going to go into it excitedly? And
no.
Okay. The movie starring Anthony Mackie, Harrison Ford, Giancarlo Esposito. How do you pronounce his name?
You just forgot how to pronounce his name?
It's Giancarlo... I thought it was Esposito, but it's pronounced...
Don't ask me. I'm horrible at pronunciation of names.
Actually, I have it here. His full name is Giancarlo Giuseppe Alessandro Esposito. That is how you actually pronounce his name, so come at me. Danny Ramirez and Carl Lumley. And one mysterious actor, because they actually managed to not reveal stuff in the trailer, even though they revealed, like, you know, everything else, including the Red Hulk and... whatever. So I was expecting a Winter Soldier vibe when I was going into this movie. Just based off of the trailer, it looked like, okay, you're following the new Captain America. For those who aren't familiar, it's now Sam Wilson, who was the old Falcon, but now he's the Captain America because Steve Rogers retired because he went into the future. You have to have seen the previous 33 movies, including some of the shows, including Disney Plus's Falcon and the Winter Soldier, to know what's going on, because this movie wasn't as contained as I wanted it to be. And that's where it was hindered. It handicapped itself so much. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, how in a movie do you try to connect those things? Like, well, sometimes visually, you know, so you'll get a news clip of the first Incredible Hulk with Ed Norton, connecting that to this movie. That's a long time ago, guys. That's a really long time ago. And not only that, but one-liner expositions. There was one part of the movie, Harrison Ford's character, Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross, who's now the president, and this is all revealed in the trailer, says to one of his assistants, oh yeah, I'm trying to reach Betty, my daughter. Well, if she's your assistant, she would know that that's your daughter. But it's so obvious and heavy-handed that he's telling the audience that. So that's one big example of a couple of other one-liner expositions.
Betty, my daughter.
Yeah. I mean, those little moments, it took me out of it a little bit because I knew what they were trying to do. And some of those scenes also felt like reshoots, because my guess is that it didn't test well and they had to reshoot it to try to make the whole movie gel. And some of those reshoots were really obvious to the point of you could tell that it was green screened. Where I'm like, it popped up on, like, the rest of everything else looked great. And then it would pop up on screen and I go, I turn to Alva and I'm like, ugh, boy.
And I felt you looking at me, but I was just like, no, I'm trying to focus on this movie because I was a little caffeinated and I needed to focus. But I didn't hate it. It's just not one of the best ones. But I guess this gets us going back into that MCU thing.
If you've seen any of the other previous MCU movies, this one, again, it was trying to go for the Winter Soldier vibe and it missed it. And instead, we got a less intense Civil War where our lead Captain America is basically, his story is being paralleled with everyone else. And everyone else has a more layered, like emotional background to them. You know, the Falcon in this one had more of a background. Carl Laemmle's Isaiah Bradley had more emotional weight to it, and he was very layered. Harrison Ford had a lot of emotional, like, we spent more time, if as much time, with Harrison Ford's Thaddeus Ross than we did anyone else. I mean, yeah. And it's not to say like anyone's acting was bad, like everybody was great, but because you're trying to juggle and balance these I don't think it was a lot of plots, but it was a handful of plots.
Think those plots that you're talking about, I think they're maybe somehow setting them up for later on, like movies later on. I'm just like, okay, that's great, but I want the answer now.
Yeah, because like I said, they're juggling everyone else's emotional stuff, and they were doing a really good job with Harrison Ford and mystery character and a few other people. There's so many people that it left Sam Wilson's Captain America just flat. Usually in a movie, a character is supposed to grow and learn something. And it felt like at one point they were like, oh, shit, we forgot to do that. Throw that in there. Cool. We did it. We pencil whipped it. We checkmarked it. Like, it really was no feeling behind that. And Anthony Mackie's really good. And he's a really charming guy. I've seen him play this character so much better in previous films. And it just didn't land with me in this film.
No, but the whole thing was like, even when they had like the show, he had so much passion for that role.
Yeah.
It felt like he had the passion for this role in that show. It took way too long to go from that show years later to this movie. And maybe somewhere along the line, some of that passion dissipated, but he's still doing that role.
Well, because this movie is a continuation directly from the Falcon and Winter Soldier series on Disney Plus. And they did a really good job exploring how everyone in that universe was living during and after, you know, Thanos' snap. And now that basically Steve Rogers passing the shield on to Sam, he's like, I don't know if I could do it. And they explore all that so well as introducing Isaiah Bradley, who was essentially imprisoned for 20 or 30 years. And then he was technically the first super soldier even before Captain America. So they were perfecting it on him before using it on Captain America, which is huge. That's a big storyline. And then you're supposed to kind of know that going into this movie. And again, the actor, Carl Laemmle, did a really great job. The guy's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It just, the script wasn't there to for me to really build that up. I mean, it's just such a, it's such a big important storyline. You know, it's so much going on that it was handled a little clunky in this film.
I felt like maybe the show needed a season two to then go into this movie to like fill in those gaps that weren't filled in.
Yeah.
And I felt also like this movie should have came off way sooner because we got a Wanda, not the show, but the movie.
Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Like I felt like you have all these other movies and then you're like, wait, what about this one? You.
Well, that also was another one where people were like, wait, what happened? Why is she bad?
Yeah.
Because they didn't watch WandaVision, which was revealed that she kind of, you know, went to the dark side.
I guess what I'm trying to say is there was too much of a gap. Like it went from WandaVision to like Doctor Strange and everything like real quick. So like if you watch the show, you watch the movie, you kind of got it right. Whatever. Right. But then there was this show, which was incredible show.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. And then there's so much like time that now it's like, oh, I forgot that there is this character.
Got it. So it suffered two problems. One, the time in which like the actual movie came out after the show. Mm-hmm. And two, the fact that the fucking shows exist. And you're like, you didn't watch that? Too bad. So these movies are no longer for the casual viewer, which I don't know how you would actually make it for the casual viewer unless you stopped making the shows, which I don't think they're ever going to do that. So, I mean, we'll see. This film could have worked if they, again, focused more on Sam Wilson. Mm-hmm. And maybe didn't have their whole Red Hulk storyline. Like, that's a cool storyline. We should have gotten that as, like, an Incredible Hulk too. You know? Like, Mark Ruffalo hasn't had his own standalone Hulk film.
That's what I'm, like, saying. Like, where's the... But here you go. Here's where Chapstick kind of messed it all up for everyone. Okay? He doesn't get the pronunciation of his name correctly. He's not going to do it because it just messed everyone up, even for, like, everything Disney. But that's where he had this... vision of like we have to let everything go and everything now and I'm just like you don't kind of don't.
I get that. Going back to how it suffered from pulling from anywhere, like not just the shows, but I just want to give a quick list, like from what I remember, and if you remember any of the other ones, shout them out, dear. It pulled from Incredible Hulk, Eternals, Civil War, Falcon Winter Soldier show, Endgame, Black Widow, and those are the ones just off the top of my head. It made so many of those references. Even me, who has seen all of those things and I've talked about them ad nauseum, I'm like, I missed something. That was significant. So they winked to the camera on that. What was it? Huh? What? Oh, okay, cool. I guess we're moving on now. You know? Oh, and I'm not going to reveal it, but they showed in a trailer, but I won't say what it is. They reveal that they found a certain metal in order to try to connect another Marvel property. I'm keeping it vague. But for those of you who know what I'm talking about. For those of you who don't, sorry. But there was no need to do that because it wasn't like, oh my God, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio pointing and whistling. It was like, oh, okay. But what does that mean now? Huh.
It means what you just said. All those shows where it pulls, that's where it's all connecting from now.
I was just so, like, I thought I was going to be excited that they did that. And I was just so bummed out.
In a way, all those things that you just mentioned that it pulls from, it's creating its own timeline.
What I mean to say is that because it felt like a Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
And it's felt like that, like a monster. Like, wow, that's cool and that's strong, but I see the stitches and I see the mismatched body parts and stuff. Not a terrible movie.
But maybe all the other movies that are coming out after this one may tie it all in and somehow we can all like watch it all and then see.
So... you know, and I talk about it with the guys on the other podcast that do the Hype Attack, where I'm like, well, I mean, you can connect things. You can make it known that this other thing happened. And then this movie showed that you have to be so delicate with how you do it. And you can't do it to everything. For example, one of the biggest ones that people were like, well, MCU is really leaving shit open-ended. If you watch The Eternals, I like that movie. Mm-hmm. But at the end... this celestial being, which basically was living in Earth, emerged from the ocean, the Indian Ocean. I think its name was Tiamat. The celestial being, and everyone's like, wait, no one's referencing that. And this movie was surrounding that thing. You go, cool, you connected it, but I don't think that needed it, as well as a couple of other things, because they were focusing on being like, remember that, remember this, remember that. I'm like, hey, give me some focus on the emotions with these people, yeah? Not a terrible movie, though.
More emotions. I want to be like, when you finish this character off and, you know, you finally tell this story of this character, the last project you do with this character, I want to feel like how I felt when Iron Man died. You know, I want those tears. Because if you're not building that up for me and then you're finishing all these other like stages and everything and then you just leave that without emotion or anything like that, or any, if you're not connecting emotionally with this character, so at the end there's like that big, you know, connection, all this other stuff with this character
and risk.
And yeah, then you're kind of failing this character as it is. And then why are you even playing with this character?
And I know a lot of MCU movies suffer from plot armor. A lot of characters have plot armor where it's like, oh, they're not going to die unless it's like this big built up three phase thing. And then Tony Stark dies. I want them to introduce some more danger.
Also, does this mean, side note, does this mean now that we get a Red Hulk at Disney?
Probably.
Because every time there's like a show or a movie, you know, now we have Deadpool at Disney, and sometimes every once in a while, Wolverine will come out, right? Does that mean we get a Red Hulk?
Probably. I mean, at this point, it's all merchandising. But again, it's not a terrible movie. I'm really critical on this because I do love the universe, even though I'm a little, you know, fatigued from superheroes and stuff. I still very much enjoy it. Like, the kid in me doesn't get excited at all. Like, the wonderful CGI and fight scenes, like, that's still fun and fantastical and cool. And, you know, maybe they should make it more for kids. I don't know. It's hard to try to make everybody happy. It's really difficult. So, like, I really want a lot for this. Like, you know, the other movies did a really good job at it. Now the bar is high, and this one just, it just didn't hit it. I don't know. I don't know if it was, they just got noted the hell out of, but we still say that you should see it. You should see it because, you know, maybe you're not as critical as I am, but be forewarned if you've, again, not seen, if you're not familiar with all those previous things, some stuff is going to leave you kind of going like, who was that? What was that? Why was that? When was that? Where was that?
Mm-hmm. And also, I do have a bone to pick. Like, are we getting that Vision Quest for Phase 6 that you guys all said? Because if not, I don't know.
Yeah, that's another one. A lot of open-ended stuff. Also, there's an after credit. Don't bother with it. Just
unless you want to. But yeah, but...
Well, of course, unless you want to. But it's not like, whoa! You know, they're trying to connect stuff, and it's not like a huge thing. So anyways, you know, see it. I still had a lot of fun. I just, again, being critical. Just want to put that out there. Mm-hmm, you know, we're not doing trivia this time around.
Rotten Tomatoes.
But before we get into what's not trivia, first we're going to kick it off into a segment I like to call YGST Gets Fresh. Ooh. And every other episode, me and Alva alternate on guessing the Rotten Tomato critic and audience score, as well as giving our own personal rating on the two movies that we just talked about, from 0 to 100, 59 and below being rotten, and 16 and above being fresh. It's now Alva's turn to guess the movie ratings. Nailed it. Okay. Starting off with The Monkey.
I give it a 90. Critics 84. And I'm going to have to go ahead and give audience a 85.
Okay. But so Monkey has a critic rating of 86%, which I think is really solid. Yeah. And so far, because it's an early release, there is no actual audience score or the popcorn.
So I will go back.
The popcorn meter. But I was looking at some of the ratings of people, the comments and stuff, and people were enjoying it. There's maybe like a few 3 stars out of 5, but for the most part, everyone's enjoying it, having a lot of fun with it. My guess is, and we'll probably revisit that rating in the future, is it's probably going to be like 90 for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But critics enjoyed it.
Captain America, Brave New World. Mm-hmm. Oh God, that hurt me to say. I give it an 80, critics 73, and audience 85.
And that one comes in at 50% for the critic score.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
I wouldn't give it a 50. That's really harsh. I would probably give it a 70. I'd say it's fresh. 50 is really harsh. But it's got all its bright flashing colors and action scenes and stuff. And 80% from the audience is sounds pretty right.
Mm-hmm. It's good, but it's like not really good.
Yeah, right along with a regular audience member. Totally. Again, like I said, I would give it a 70. So right around where you thought the critics, where you going to rate it. So there you have it. There it is. That's what we call YGST Gets Fresh. Ooh. I've been trying to have her land on the ooze. And like I teased before, we are not going to do trivia, but we're quickly going to give our Oscar predictions because social media and the news have been reminding us that like the Oscars is coming up in a couple of weeks. March 3rd, to be exact.
I thought it was 2nd.
March 2nd, to be exact. Google and fact
check. There's no 29th this month. Fact check
your own shit.
It's not a leap year.
So we wanted to make it interesting. And I told Alva, right, we're going to do the big five. The big five being best screenplay, best actor in leading role, best actress in leading role, best director, and best picture. Whoever loses
has to run and edit the next episode after the Oscars.
Yeah. And I feel like it's an even thing because we saw the same movies and it's more of like, all right, do we know how Hollywood's working? I mean,
I think I do.
Ugh, okay. Let's go. Oscar predictions, YHST edition. So starting off with the best in screenplay. I'll quickly run down. The best screenplay nominations are Anora, The Brutalist, A Real Pain, September 5th, and The Substance. We've seen most of those. A couple of those we just haven't had the time to see.
September 5th is on this one? Yeah. I don't know.
I think that got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. It's the whole like, what is it, the Olympics and like something or other. There's a shooting across building or what. I don't know. It's one of those.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, now it's that one.
That's going to bother me.
Mm-hmm.
Munich.
Yeah, there you go.
So what's your guess on, what's your prediction for the 97th Oscar Award?
Screenplay, I say Brutalist.
You think The Brutalist?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I say A Real Pain.
Okay.
We talked about it on the previous episode. I connected with it a lot. And I know The Brutalist is amazing. I was torn between those two. But
I'm just going how I think Hollywood would pick.
Totally. No, yeah, no, for sure. I just really, I'd be abandoning A Real Pain if I didn't guess that.
I understand.
For next, best actor in leading role, we have Adrian Brody for The Brutalist, Coleman Domingo for Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes for Conclave, Timothy Chalamet for A Complete Unknown, and Sebastian Stan for The Apprentice.
Okay, this one, I did Adrian Brody, although Sebastian Stan did win a Golden Globe for The Apprentice.
Yeah.
I feel like for this one, it's going to be Adrian Brody.
I also guess Adrian Brody. So we're guess the same on that one. And after that, best actress in a leading role. Mikey Madsen for Anora, Cynthia Erivo in Wicked, Demi Moore for The Substance, Carla Sofia Gascon for Emilia Perez, but didn't she get booted?
No, she got booted from the Oscars, like their press. Like she's not going to be attending to their
Got
press.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. And then Fernanda Torres for I'm Still Here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Demi Moore.
Okay, we're guessing the same thing. I also guessed Demi Moore for The Substance. I was really trying to think of like everyone's acting, but like, dude, she was fantastic. And then up next, best director, Brady Corbet for The Brutalist, James Mangold for A Complete Unknown, Coralie Farguet for The Substance, Sean Baker for Anora, and Jacques Audiard for Emilia Perez.
Brady Corbet.
Totally. Oh, damn, we're guessing the same things.
No, but this is what you got real pain for the screenplay. So unless that one loses, I don't know.
Last but not least, best picture. And there's 10 of them. Jesus Christ. Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance and Wicked.
Toss, toss. Leg.
What's your guess?
The Brutalist.
Damn it. I also guess The Brutalist. This is why this works, but it's going to make for an interesting
competition. I went very Brutalist and Demi Moore. I just feel like that movie, it has some controversies that's going on, but I think it's enough to where it's like, no, we can give it a pass in a way.
Yeah.
Don't do it again next time, but you know, but here you go. Definitely like with Emilia Perez, I'm not so sure how that would go with Hollywood. Maybe, maybe not. I may be wrong with that one.
I'm going to be extremely aggravated if Emilia Perez wins fucking anything for the Oscars. We've talked about it. I've seen it. I really don't like that movie, especially the fact that it's being nominated amongst all these other things, most of which we've seen and are vastly better than Emilia Perez.
The fact that, like, that one has more major controversy than any of the other ones that have brought anything. And we are within the culture of canceling things right now. So it may or may not win, but we'll see.
So we'll see. Again, it's not going to be for a couple of weeks, but we just wanted to give you our predictions for now, which we fucking guess the same thing for all of these things. And only the first one, right? Screenplay would be differed.
Mm-hmm. So if for some reason The Brutalist wins, you got to do the same thing.
Shit. All right. Well, there you have it. There it is. Anything else you want to talk about? Anything else you want to cover? Any last words or forever hold your peace?
No, I'm going to hold my peace.
So again, just to recap, The Monkey, see it. Captain America, see it. But lower your expectations a little bit for that one. Close it out.
Close it up.
You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at
YJCPod.
And also at YouTube. And again, if you want to support us and if you want us to buy that, if you want me to buy that popcorn bucket,
please,
monkey,
don't. No.
To freak Alva out,
no.
Do so at Venmo at YHSTPod. I will fucking buy that thing just to freak her out and have it sitting on my stand and put it like, you know, the elf on a shelf. I'll do monkey. Yeah, whatever rhymes with that.
I don't know. Tell me something that rhymes with it because I can't do it right now.
But yeah, again, you could do that. You could help support us at Venmo at YHSTPod. And you can find us on social medias and stuff. We stream so far every Sunday. We might start doing them at 3.
Time's different.
Yeah, it would be different times. So stay tuned. Look at our stories. Hit the notifications to follow along to see when we're going to do those things. We are still continuing to drop bite-sized episodes, bite-sized movie reviews we call YHSD Snacks. Say that again, say it at the same time. I just wait for that beat. So if you don't want to listen to all this fun stuff, you can still watch a under 2-minute movie review.
Yeah.
Till then, let us know what movies you're excited to see or on your growing list of films that has people asking you the question,
you haven't seen that?
Till next week, folks.
Okay, bye.
I love you and I mean it.